So what's on your mind this last day of August? Amazing.
Yeah, that has flown by, huh? A lot has happened, obviously, since our last call. We've decided not to move forward with Bobby. So unfortunately, we're taking all those clients back, and I have to come up with another plan.
Louis, you got some work to do there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think Sue likes the momentum that she had and just get that back going with figuring out what's next with this. So, and we'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought in the meantime, until we figure it out, what myself, Teresa, and Jean were talking about is I came up with a lot of those clients. I was thinking about having Teresa and Jean reach out to them quarterly just so that someone's staying in contact.
Yep.
And just so it's not all falling back on me, just for now.
Good plan.
Okay.
Yeah, good plan. Just, I mean, yeah, because it's gonna kill your momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, you all have to agree on it. It's got to be
Yeah.
reasonable, but it's look, there's a a lot of different ways you can do it. But they need somebody to reach out. But I think quarterly is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. What else?
No, I think we just still need to get through getting all of our clients on the calendar. We're not quite there yet, but I think once that happens, it'll free up a lot more of Jean's time, right? So I think that's one of our priorities right now is getting through that.
Yeah.
And then I did, I talked to Lewis about how I felt like I wasn't growing, and that was one of the whole reasons for this. And he just said, it's okay. Right now this is where you're at, and eventually you'll get there. And
Thanks,
so I'm really
Anne.
setting myself up for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a transition time. It's an organization time. It's a restructuring time. You just have to stay in the game. I just had a nice, we asked for feedback on the program on how people feel that they did in the program. And I got a nice write-up from an FA I've been coaching. It's over, it's finished his year of coaching. And he said, it helped me grow, but the more important thing is it got control of my time. My clients are now trained. They're all on 1242. They give me, they like it, but they don't call in between calls. They write down their questions and then they, so the phones don't ring. I've got balance in my life. And my client's satisfaction in general is much better. So I think it's, that's, you got to get to there. Once you get to there, then you can, we want to do everything simultaneously, but getting to that balance place and getting to that place where all clients are signed up, all clients are trained. Now, here's one of the things that I talk about is somebody said to me, well, shouldn't I mean, clients are going to call. I said, yeah, they're going to call. But what you want to do is make sure that they know that when we say 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution of a problem, that's basically a 911 call. Okay. That's not a rate. It's not a, I'm thinking about the election call. Okay. It's, I've got to have a check today or I'm closing in a week and I need a line of credit. Can you help me? Okay.
Right.
That's an emergency call and we have 1 hour response. That means we pick up the phone basically and 24 hour resolution, which means we're going to resolve most problems in 24 hours. And then if we can't, we'll tell them. And then like a miracle, we'll actually call them back when the problem is finished, which no one does, right? They just assume you'll know it's finished. Well, people don't know. And so they go a month or two without knowing, worrying about that problem. So you as a team have got to understand that when somebody calls, you want to train them that that's a 911 call.
Right.
Not just a casual phone call.
That's what we're trying to get through now is, you know, if a client calls and says, hey, I was thinking about this, no rush. Gene and I just talked about this today that, okay, well, we'll be calling you on the 9th. So we'll make sure that's on the list to talk about on the 9th.
Right.
It's just, we all have to get used to that.
Right. And so when you send out the agenda, be sure you put on the agenda, if you'd like to add something to the agenda, please send it back and we'll put it on there.
Yeah, that's where we haven't gotten there. We need to do that.
Yeah. And then when you send out the executive summary, you want to make sure everybody that's been working on anything puts their feedback into that executive summary. So if there has been a problem that's outstanding that's now solved, you can put that into the executive summary if you haven't called them.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
So just showing that it was resolved. Yeah. Okay.
See what I mean? That's just really important. Okay. One of the things we want to do is work on, if we're not going to do our purpose, mission, vision right now, then what we want to do is have people report in based on the 5-star model. All right. So those are the two directions I go. One direction is work on purpose, mission, vision, get that solved in the next, say, 3 months. Or we go, okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to go report in based on director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. So we cover all the areas of the practice and that the directors each report in on how we're doing. So shall we go that direction?
I think we need to.
Okay. Yep. So, director of planning, how are we doing?
Well, all that's changing. So I think we actually need to sit, this is all literally just happening. I think we need to sit down and figure out whose roles are changing.
Okay.
I mean, I know the areas that we need to kind of step it up, but we need to define roles again.
Yeah, it's just, okay. I mean, military organization would say, okay, here's our organization. The director of training just left. We need to fill that spot. Okay, so whatever spots empty need to be filled.
Right.
And if you want to reorg the whole thing, that's fine. But
I haven't even thought about it until you just mentioned it.
Right. That's why I'm here.
Yep. All right, we'll get on that. And then I think we need to come up with, like you said, let's review what everyone's position is, what jobs we have, and set some goals if we're not finished.
Right. We're not going to ever achieve things unless we set goals. I mean, we can just write them off if we don't set goals. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
you got to. And there's no reason to not do that. You got a good team.
It doesn't just magically happen.
No. The other does magically happen. When you set goals, they magically happen. It's shocking. So be careful what you set goals because you'll probably achieve them. So it works. All right. So setting up our revised directorship, filling in the gaps. And then I would say, at the same time, do a gap analysis as to what you really think is missing. Okay? So who do you think, I mean, what are the roles and responsibilities that are missing, and who would you really like to fill them? Is there a person on your team? And if not, then we need to fill in this, 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 and this. So think of it as a blank slate, because Bobby may have filled in some gaps for you, but he may not have filled in all the gaps that you want. So think about, if you had a magic wand and could hire the right person that could do these things, what would it be that they would do? So don't think about Bobby, or don't think about what's available. Think about what you need, rather than thinking about limiting your thinking. So if I had two partners, so don't even think about it as being one person. Think about, if I had two partners, what would they do? So start with one, and then start, and then if you need to, go to a second partner, because they say, well, that one person couldn't do all those things. Well, yeah, they could. Maybe. Maybe they could. That way you're, you know, you're opening up your mind a little bit.
Right.
And that can help Lewis in terms of, you know, getting a clear vision of what it is that you want and need. And then, I mean, he may say to himself, you know what? I know a guy at another firm that would be a great partner for you. And so this would be an interesting combination, rather than just limiting your thinking to, you know, something that you've already, you know, just kind of open your mind a little bit to the possibilities, and don't immediately say, you know, well, this won't work, or this won't work because my previous experiences or whatever. None of that. Don't do that. Just say the perfect person who would be the perfect person forever and ever. Okay.
Yes.
And that helps to then narrow in on what you really want. So you focus on what you want, not on what you don't want.
Right. I'm almost at the point though where I would be comfortable just selling off this one portion of the book.
Yeah, yeah. That's great, by the way. Do it. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, managing people may not, I mean, most top advisors do not want to manage people. I mean, they find somebody on the team to do it or something.
Yeah, and it's not a, I used to say to my managers, my producing managers, you know, you come in the first thing in the morning, what you think about is it, are you thinking about the office or are you thinking about your book? They'd say, well, in reality, I'm thinking about my book. And I'd say, so you like the idea of being a manager. You don't particularly like being a manager.
I don't like either.
See? And that's...
just honest. I don't.
Right. So you don't build a fiefdom. Some people love that, right? The guy across the hall from you obviously loves that. Loves building a team, right? Loves building an empire. But you know, you can do $5 million as a sole proprietor. So you just build, you hire an analyst, you hire people to do stuff for you. You don't hire partners.
I like that.
Right. Hire people to do things. Hire very effective administrators and administrative people to run your business, but they're not partners. That allows you then to just delegate without having to deal with a lot of the emotions and personalities and all that other stuff. I mean, you're always going to deal with that stuff, but you can have one of those people run that. You can have that person be the office manager. You deal with the all that stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't do much of that. You know, I had my admin manager, my service manager, they ran the office. They ran everything but sales. I was in charge of growing the FAs and bringing in new FAs, recruiting and development. That was my job as the leader. Okay. Your job is the same. Your job is to grow your existing clients and to bring in new clients. Okay. That's it. Don't delegate everything else. Hire good people to run the office and run things and make sure things get done. And you can even give up the leadership role. I don't even want to be the leader. Okay. You're the leader of the team. Now lead it. I am your chief asset. Okay. When you think about it, right? The chairman hires a CEO to run the company, and he makes sure the whole company runs well.
Good point.
When they interview on CNBC, they don't interview the chairman. They interview the CEO because he's running or she's running the company. So just figure out what I'm telling you. I had one guy who said to me, I said, he came up to me after one of these conferences, you know, after a presentation, he said, I love Supernova. I go, well, that's nice. Why? And he said, well, I started out doing the 12-4-2s and I realized I hated it. So I hired somebody to do the 12-4-2s and all I do is bring in money. Now, I don't think that's right because I think that is completely wrong. Because I think you need to build relationships, and those relationships then get you introductions to other people and you grow that way. But this guy, you know, this guy happened to be a hunter. That's all he liked.
And yeah, so, if that works for him, yeah, whatever.
Right, exactly. So you've got to figure out who you are and what you like and what you're good at and go and do it and do more of it. So you say to yourself, am I spending 80% of my time doing what I'm good at and what I'm paid to do? If not, get somebody else to do it. It's cheap money compared to making yourself crazy.
Isn't it hard to find people, Shannon, Lewis?
Challenging to find the right people, yeah.
The right people, just getting the right fit is the struggle. But it can be done. It's done. I've never not done it. But it's always like trying to find exactly what you need.
I came in when my very first office, I had to fire basically everybody. I might as well not have been given an office. I might as well have started it from scratch. The whole thing was a mess and they were going to close it for compliance reasons. So I came in I remember coming in on Saturdays to interview admin managers. Okay. I mean, that's what you got to do when you need to do it. You just find the people. You hunt until you find the people. And you don't even have to look in your own firm. Hire the best sales assistant away from somebody at the competition. I mean, you just open your mind and go for the best people. That's the key. Find the best person. And yes, do you have to put the same kind of energy into it that you'd normally put into prospecting? Of course you do. Or you're just prospecting for service people. So, you know, or an analyst or whatever.
I think that's a good brainstorm for me, Teresa and Jean, then maybe over the next, you know, several months, whatever it is, that we just start talking about maybe what are we lacking, what do we need.
Yeah, do your gap analysis. If you're going to build the right team, what would the roles and responsibility be, and who would, you know, and then say, okay, who's the best person in the world at doing this? I don't care where they are, who they work for. Who's the best person? And we can't get them. Why can't we get them? They told me I couldn't get a certain a district admin manager because he had just gone into a market. So I was about to hire somebody else, and they said, Rob, you're accepting mediocrity. You're hiring the best of what's available, not the best. We should go and get Bob Smith. And I said, you know what? You're right. Thank you. You saved me. So my commitment to excellence, which was part of our mission, you know, part of our values, they wouldn't let me violate it, even though I was going to. So you don't accept the best of what's available. You accept the best. Okay. You go for the best. And so I had to go and have a war with national sales. But I got him.
And did it work out?
Of course it did. He's still there. He's the best there was. And he fought like a maniac for me. And people hated me in national sales because I never accepted their garbage. Their garbage answers. Well, just go and, you know, go and be quiet, right? Just go and I say, I can't win unless I have the best. I'm sorry. You want me to win? I need the best. Sorry. That's it. If you don't want me to win, fine. Tell me that, write that into my evaluation. It's okay. He gets a far exceeds even though, you know, he didn't earn it. Right, Lewis? We don't get too many of those.
I'll take them, but they don't happen very often.
And the only thing coming out of this COVID that Lewis is going to, they're going to say, oh, that was nice. Do you remember? I remember COVID. Now, Lewis, why didn't you achieve these goals? Okay. Because they don't care. Then they forget. Oh, we had COVID that year. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. That was kind of a bad year for you, though. Right? It's kind of a disappointing year. And he goes, it was COVID. And you go, yeah, yeah. So it was COVID for everybody, but you didn't perform in line with the rest.
I mean, it makes sense, though. Why would you settle?
You
as
don't.
With anything in life. I've never been a settler. I never want to be. I just feel like we should always want the best for our clients and us.
I mean, what is the market? What is the market admiring right now? It's admiring fanatics that don't care, that don't use excuses. Jeff Bezos wants to be able to deliver anything you want in 30 minutes. Okay. Is changing the world. Now, the United States Postal Service is virtually put out of business because of Jeff Bezos. And UPS and American Express have been turned upside down because of him. And what's Elon Musk doing to the transportation industry? He's turning it upside down. He's just saying, those are all excuses. You know? So, forget about excuses. Go and do something that you're really proud of. That's the best of the best. No one's ever been as good as our team. We have the very best team in the world because we won't accept mediocrity. And it changes your brain about excuses. No excuses, just results. I'm sorry. I love you. No results. You're out. Bye. It was good for me. I learned. Winning is a habit. Losing's a habit. And if you get into the mindset that you are committed to excellence and you're going to win every year, whether everybody else is playing in a contest or not, you're playing in a contest every year to be the best, to grow, and that you will not accept mediocrity. And you have your own game. Sometimes there's a game that's provided for you, and sometimes you have to make up your own game. the game is, am I really proud of what I did while I was doing what I did? Or was I just average? Average in our business is pretty good. But I never found that interesting.
Me either.
Right. Average has never been very interesting. And it's not that hard to get an A or to get an A plus. You just have to do a little more and be a little more committed. It doesn't take that much more. And all of a sudden you move up to the top of the ranks. And then you're a Barron's 50 producer and you got 1.6 billion in assets and you go, how did I get here? Well, you got there because you were committed to excellence and you just kept in a nice professional way. You just were a fanatic about it. I just believe that there's no reason to not be the best and just never accept mediocrity. It's a really fun state of mind. And I found that it's disturbing when I get with organizations, like, you know, when I get with nonprofits and colleges and they're like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, this place is crazy. You could be great. Why don't you want to be? Well, I don't know. They never understood winning and how much fun winning is. Winning is so much fun. Winning is great. Being the best is worth it. You might as well. You're going to work anyway. Might as well win. Anyway, that's just
me. It's our Monday morning motivational.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, in the middle of COVID, we got some great sports. John Rahm just won a tournament and DJ is, you know, coming up second. We're going to have a great FedEx. I know I'm a golfer and I love golf, but it doesn't matter what your sport is, what, you know, what you enjoy seeing people that are really good at what they do. And who cares about COVID? They're going to win. And it's fun to see them. People pay big money for them. And the same with us, you know, if you do a really big job, you get paid a lot of money, which is nice. It's a nice recognition of what you achieve, but it's more the psychology of being on a great team. I've always said that people never leave a winning team. They don't want to. Michael Jordan did not want to leave the Bulls, ever. And all he wanted to do was win one more season. And it had nothing to do with the money. It had everything to do with winning.
That was such a great documentary.
And getting that feeling. He just wanted that feeling one more year. And those idiots had no idea. Even though they were part of it, they didn't understand that they were dealing with a once-in-a-lifetime kind of mentality person. And all you had to do was say, okay, one more year. We'll bring the coach back. We'll bring the team back. We'll do it one more year. Those old guys would have killed themselves and they would have won one more year. And what would that have been worth to the owner? Well, who cares what it's worth? See, it can't be about the money. When it's about the money, they're idiots. It's got to be about the experience and the winning. And what would that experience have been for the young guy that would just join the team? You know, the newest guy on the team, and he was part of another winning championship. They did something that no one's ever done. I don't know. The human experience is, that's what we're here for, as far as I'm concerned, to create something that's never been done, something better than anything that's ever been done. That's why I love this economy. I think it's the greatest thing. Everybody else is, oh, let's get in cash. Everything is going to go to heck. I go, no, this is the greatest economy we've ever seen. This is a transformation and a revolution, the digital revolution, like nothing ever that I've ever seen. And there are companies that are exploding and things are happening and everybody's worried. And you're watching a revolution. It's the most exciting time ever in my 48 years in the business. There's never been anything like it, never probably will be. but it's happening at light speed and people are completely oblivious.
Yeah, it's a pretty positive way of looking at it too.
You got it. You can't look at it, oh, price earnings ratios are way out of whack and da 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 da. I'm sorry. You're in the middle of a revolution. These companies are transforming, disrupting, and changing the way everything is happening. There was a professor on earlier today, and he said, I just did a study, a personal study, and I checked on how much time I was spending involved in the digital revolution during a couple of days. So just do that. Just see, how much time are you spending using the new economy versus doing other things? And he said about 95% of my time I was engaged in the new economy, in the digital revolution. Just think about it today. What, Zoom? I mean, it just starts with Zoom, right? But then you go to everything. So that's not why I'm here, but I think it's really important to put things in context that this isn't, they say, well, you never say it's different this time. Well, it is different this time. And it has been that way for a long time. You don't realize how long the world has changed. It's been going on a long time, and it's changing. And people are doing things completely different and faster and better and more efficiently. And that's why one of the things you got to worry about is that they will not bring as many people back to work, because people are doing more with less, and they're much more profitable. That's why you're seeing these companies showing profits that we can't even believe. Why are the earnings going through the roof? It's because they're doing things with less, and part of it's with less people. You know, when Salesforce gives drops a number like they dropped on the market and then said, oh, by the way, we're laying off 1,000 people. What? How's that? What's that? How does that fit in? Well, it's because we figured out we can do it. We don't need all the guys holding the door at the office. We're not even going to have an office. You know, we're going to operate from home. I mean, there's a lot of things that this thing has changed. And will it go back? Well, it won't go back completely the way it was. I'll tell you that. So anyway, so get your, sell off your business. Sell off that portion of your business. Somebody be happy to buy it. Okay? Do it any way you want. But, you know, to go and think about it. It's like cleaning out your closet, sending it to Goodwill, and somebody saying, oh, by the way, Goodwill just closed and you're getting all your stuff back. And you go, I don't think that sounds like a really good idea. I think I'll give it to, Daughters of the Poor or something, right?
Right.
Sisters of the Poor. You're getting it. So Bobby doesn't want it. Give it to somebody else. And you can get paid for it for a while, but try and get it out of your number is the point. You don't want the compliance responsibility. That's why I hate splits. Try not to do a split. See if Lewis can figure out a way to get it out of your number and get paid like you retired on it or something. You know, one of those deals.
Yep, we'll do that. We need to look at our roles and responsibilities, and then
I don't think anybody in your team is going to cry if you get rid of those accounts.
No. I think we're all crying on the inside of putting them back on the account.
Right, team?
Right.
Right, right. Simpler is better. Being organized is hard, but you know what? Not being interrupted is great. Not having people calling in, not having, you know, oh, tomorrow, I'm sorry, Teresa, tomorrow I've got a guy coming in and I got to have his 5 years worth of work done in 20 minutes in order to get ready for him tomorrow. No, we don't have that anymore. We got somebody coming in, you know, in a week, or not even coming in. We're going to just present to them on Zoom, but we got to be ready in a week. Well, give me a week. I can get ready for anything, right? Give me 30 minutes notice or an hour, 2 hours notice. I got to drop everything and get ready because some guy decides he's going to drop in and see us and wants a review. Well, that's garbage. We're not going to do that. So.
It's happened, hasn't it, Jane? Not very often, though.
Oh, yeah.
It can happen, right? These things, you know, when undisciplined, all kinds of things can happen.
Yep.
So,
good.
Makes sense?
Yep.
Know where you're going? Is that enough for today?
I think that's plenty.
Give you a little pep talk at the same time? Yeah.
Yep.
It's good to stay fired up. It's the world is depressed right now because of COVID. You guys don't be depressed. Get fired up. You got a great opportunity. And guess what? Next year at this time, they're going to, with COVID. Yeah, I remember that. You know, it's going to be like, forget it. No excuse.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Louis, I'll call you.
All right.
Okay.